Hi friends, after learning about the management support system of the hospital extensively, let's understand what are the various extramural functions of the hospital also. Well, normally we have believed that hospital is the word which has come from hospice, like hotel, to accommodate people where people are not able to take care of themselves. Basically, the hospital was established as per the Florence Nightingale's idea of treating the soldiers who were wounded and all that. Gradually, the concept of only taking care of the patients in the hospital, four walls of the hospital itself, has been extended to community, and now we are believing that a hospital has also got a role to play in outside the in taking care of the patients outside the hospital itself, and that is not only via the outpatient department, which is also situated within the hospital, where the patients come and their consultations are done and then go after being treated. There are certain services like taking care of the community outside in the form of giving health education talks, organizing various kinds of camps. It can be a screening camp for cancer, it can be blood donation camps, etc. Taking outdoor services in a way by having satellite clinics, outdoor OPDs for communities at their place where they are staying, home care services, etc. All these are considered to be extramural functions of hospital. So we'll learn that in detail today. So what are our learning objectives? First and foremost is community outreach programs in the form of health education talks. It can be in the form of screening camps, it can be in the form of medical camps where people are treated there, it can be in the form of vaccinations given, etc. So these are all various kinds of outreach programs where the health education talks will vary from health and hygiene to healthy lifestyle to awareness about the cancer, awareness about the hepatitis B, awareness about the HIV AIDS, etc. So multiple topics can be covered as far as the health education talks are concerned. Apart from that, those diseases which are endemic, that means in their locality, they are more prevalent, people can be given advice about how to take care of that to prevent those diseases. Similarly, when there is an epidemic, when there are the cases of these diseases far exceeding the normal cases, and hence at that time special precautions have to be taken to prevent these diseases to spread further. So all these kinds of things will come under community outreach programs. And of course, the blood donation camps and the health melas, etc., all those things will come. So cancer detection camps, where you are screening the patients for cancer in the form of pap smear for cervical cancers, in the form of examining the mouth of patients who are chronically taking the tobacco chewing hobby, etc., where you are looking for any erythroplakia or leukoplakia in the mouth, and then if needed taking biopsy and then taking care of that at the early stage where they can be treatable or curable. Then comes immunization camps. It can be in the form of giving injection to the children, injection to the adults, in the form of injection tetanus toxoid, injection hepatitis B, injection BCG, triple, oral polio vaccine, etc. We'll go into details. So various kinds of immunization camps, and today we are having even the influenza camps and gardenal camps organized by many organizations. Then comes blood donation camps. In earlier days, there were a lot of professional donors who used to donate blood and get the money against that. And of course, one can understand that these people may be anemic, they may be taking just for the sake of money, they may not be taking care of their health, and it can have adverse effect on the recipient, and at times they may be having some or the other disease like HIV or hepatitis B, or they are drug addicts and all that, but they do not reveal to the doctor when they are donating blood. So when you are having voluntary blood donation camps organized within the locality of people where it is convenient for people to donate, and it has got lot of advantages which we'll see later. Then comes various kinds of social services in the form of education, social welfare, various welfare activities, cultural activities, etc. We learn those things into detail. Then comes mobilization of funds from industrial groups to help the government to take care of the various kinds of health services for the community at large. It can be in the form of, again, vaccinations, health education camps, massive screening for cancer, tuberculosis, leprosy, etc., and also for non-governmental organizations. Role of hospital in community welfare, like health melas and yatras. You can organize health melas and yatras, especially in pilgrimage areas and various district level and village levels, whereby people who are not getting sufficient services for their health care because of the poorly developed infrastructure, less number of doctors ready to work in those areas, you can organize such melas and yatras, whereby all kinds of specialists and super specialists at times can give services there, and people can be detected early, they can be treated, they can be referred to the right places when needed, etc. Then comes medical education. Since we want to produce more and more doctors and more paramedical staff who can take care of the huge population of India, as we know, the number of beds in India are much less as compared to the population when we are comparing it to the Western countries, and even the number of nurses are much less. The number of technicians in the form of ECG technician, EEG technician, EMG technician, etc., are also much less, and hence we need lot of people to learn these fields so that they become expert in this field, and then they can treat patients, and then they can take care of the huge population who need the healthcare services, and their optimization should be done, and hence medical education is very important aspect of a hospital to take care of that. Where there are teaching hospitals, of course they will take care of that, but there are semi-teaching hospitals, or there may be some of the hospitals where they are teaching to the postgraduate students, they are the centers for DNB examination, etc., or the doctors can get themselves registered in these hospitals for particular courses for DNB and all. So medical education and research, it should go on continuously to improve upon the various kinds of equipments for diagnostic purpose, for therapeutic purpose, and to take care of lot of newer and newer modalities of treatment. At the same time, since the bugs are changing, they are becoming resistant to drugs, hence we should develop newer and newer drugs which are going to be effective against the microorganisms, and we should learn about the various risk factors that are occurring for various diseases, so one can know that and prevent it as far as possible so that the diseases will not occur. So a lot of research is needed in the medical field, and it is going in leaps and bounds, in fact one can say, in various fields of medical and paramedical fields. And apart from that, even research can occur for the public health services, epidemiology, etc., clinical trials for drugs, clinical trials for risk factors, clinical trial for attributable factors, etc. So all those things in coordination with ICMR and clinical trials, etc., is needed. So that's also a function of a hospital. So let's go into details about this kind of extramural services of a hospital. First and foremost, when you want to do outreach programs in the community, when you want to help the community at large as your social goal, so that people come to know about the basic aspects of what a disease is, especially in case of endemic diseases and epidemic diseases, or some of the seasonal diseases like monsoon diseases like typhoid, cholera. Earlier days there was poliomyelitis, which was prevalent. Then some of the viral diseases, diarrheas, dysenteries, hepatitis. These are some of the monsoon diseases. There can be some of the summer diseases like summer diarrhea, itching, fungal infections due to sweat. There can be heat exhaustion and all. So various kinds of diseases can occur in various seasons. Winter can lead to chilblains and frostbite and some of the dry skin, etc. whereby people get itching in the skin. So based on the seasons, based on the various kinds of factors in that particular locality also, some of the diseases can occur and people are more prone to get those diseases. So one should go to community, one should make them understand about why these particular diseases are occurring in this particular seasons, so that they can take preventive aspects to prevent these diseases to occur in themselves, and what are the risk factors that also, if one can understand, they are going to prevent those things, especially when there are certain genetic diseases where siblings have already got that disease, where the mother has suffered from breast cancer, the daughter should be examined earlier for detection. So to understand what are the community needs, first of all, one should go to the community. One should visit the schools, temples, sports grounds, where people are coming together, where the cultural changeover is occurring, in the melas, in the festivals, and mingle with them, develop a rapport with the community people, get acquainted with the community leaders who can change the mentality of people and who can know what are the requirements of this community. And so you can even approach the sarpanch, the local government, local schools, other healthcare professionals who are working in that area, who will know what are the requirements of this area, where they are, which diseases are more prevalent, and overall the demography of the people, whether there are more of elderly people, more of children, more of teenagers, more of adults. Based on the age group also, we know there are certain diseases which are more prevalent. For example, in elderly people, the cataract will be more prevalent, the musculoskeletal problems in the form of osteoporosis and all will be more prevalent, the degenerative diseases will be more prevalent. So based on that, one can find out the community needs. Visit local community center, schools, sports groups, to be familiar with a particular culture. What is the culture of the people? Once you develop the rapport with them, once you come to know them little bit closely, socially, they will come out with what are their myths and misconceptions about certain diseases, what are the type of treatments they are ready to accept and what are the type of treatments they are not ready to accept. What they feel the causative factors behind certain diseases. So one has to go into depth about these cultural aspects and then make them understand. If there are some myths and misconceptions, one has to remove those things gradually. Seek assistance of community leaders to assess the various community needs that are there. Some people are very shy to talk to you. The community people may not come forward and tell you that these are our needs, these are the problems of our community. There are psychological problems, mental problems with us. Some of the people are very violent. There are culturally backward people, they are not educated, they don't know the importance of the scientific knowledge. So they may not come out with their problems. So one has to go and search. Gradually one can come to know by developing a rapport, by talking to the local people who are community leaders, who are school teachers, who are bank officers, who are going in and giving the micro loans to these people, and they come to know through their talks about some of the aspects of their culture. Psychologists can improve information to community leaders about unmet mental needs of the community. Well, as we have defined, as per the World Health Organization, health is not merely the absence of disease or disability. It is the complete well-being of the person in physical, mental, social and spiritual aspect. And hence, even mental health is equally important. So when psychologists want to promote their services at a very concessional rate or free also at times to the community when they have got some or the other mental problems in the form of neurosis, where it is anxiety, mild depression, obsessive compulsive neurosis, phobias like fear of heights and fear of enclosed places, fear of lifts, etc., fear of going to the mountains, fear of water, fear of sea, There can be various kinds of phobias for people. Some may be having phobia for various diseases. Some may be having phobia for reptiles like snakes. And there can be psychotic diseases in the form of split personality, schizophrenia, gross endogenous depression, suicidal tendencies, manic depressive psychosis, etc. And these unmet needs, mental needs that are there, can be arrived at by the psychologist going into the deeper part of the community, discussing with them their basic problems with those who are making the impact on this community people, like school teachers and community leaders, corporators, etc. And then they can come to know what are the requirements of this community. And based on the need assessment, you should go and develop some of the modules for giving the right kind of health awareness, mental problems awareness, and how to tackle them. Be empathetic with them. You can counsel them whenever they need this kind of thing. And you should make them aware that such services are available, which can be free of cost or at a reasonable cost. So let's understand further about the potential obstacles of assessing the services. One is cultural stigma. There are some cultures where they believe that we should not go for allopathy. They will believe only homeopathy is good for you, or only Ayurveda is good for them, or only Unani medicine is good for them, even though it can lead to a major problem when surgical problems arise in them. And some of the acute diseases cannot be treated so easily by Ayurveda and homeopathic medicines. And some people believe that this is problem that is occurring because God is not happy with us, and hence we have to do the puja and prayers and all those things, then only the person will become all right. They don't need the medicines to be given. After 7 days or 10 days, only when the goddess will be pleased with us, or then only the person will become all right. We should not take medicine for this kind of diseases, like some of the viral diseases earlier used to occur in German measles and all that. So these kind of cultural stigmas are also preventing a person to go to the doctor. So one should reach such communities and try to clarify their myths and misconceptions about this by giving them scientific evidence, by giving them the positive strokes about taking the right kind of treatment from the doctors. Then there is lack of knowledge about available services also can occur due to some people are not just reading newspapers, they don't go out, they are all the time in the in-house, or some of the immigrants are there where they have come from other village or other country or other state, and they don't know much about this, and hence they are unaware of the various healthcare services available in that locality, and hence they don't come forward to take treatment for their problems. So lack of knowledge. Then limited or no insurance coverage. In India still, most of the people are not covered by insurance for most of the diseases they are suffering from, and the medical cost is going by leaps and bounds higher and higher, and people cannot afford this kind of medical cost, especially when there are major surgical problems or when a person is supposed to be admitted in ICU, where lot of expensive treatment is to be given to them for taking care of the critically ill patient, or when the cancer treatment is very, very expensive. So one can understand, since there is limited or no insurance coverage to pay for such services, it becomes very difficult for them to avail the medical facilities even though they are available in the area, and hence they should be given an idea about some of the charitable trusts who can help them, some of the hospitals who are doing corporate social responsibility and giving the free treatment to the poor patients. Then reliance for non-professional sources of support. There are some people who believe that these professionals are not going to help us. Some of the quacks who are better for us, who are very sweet talkers and who try to play with their psyche, and they a kind of by their words they are hypnotizing them, and then unnecessarily they are being carried away by their talks, and hence they take the treatment from such non-professionals, and hence they don't become all right, and they may pay much more to them also at times. While there are some people who believe that our family support is good enough only when we get the social counseling by our family members, then only our mental problems can be sorted out. They don't realize that there are certain problems where there may be some chemical disturbance in the brain, and then you can't treat such a person just by giving a layman's kind of counseling. They need an expert counseling by the psychotherapist, by the psychiatrist, etc., and sometimes they need drugs also to take care of that. So such kind of reliance only for non-professional sources of support can lead to a major problem in such cases when they have androgynous depression with suicidal tendency and all, or they are very violent, it may not help. So such kind of people do need professional support all the time. So you have to insist and make them understand the importance of such services in the community which are available. And there are certain alternative sources also. Many people believe that yoga and naturopathy and the herbal treatment and some of the spiritual leaders are going to make them all right, rather than taking the right kind of evidence-based medicine, scientific medicine by allopathic doctors, and which can lead to a major problem sometimes because these people are not ready to accept that. So one has to gradually make them understand the importance of such diseases, how they are, what is the origin of these diseases, how they are occurring, what are the past researches which have led us to believe the right kind of causes and the risk factors, and you can show them the statistics that overall when we see the patients dying of mouth cancer and compare their habits, we see that 90% of them are having either smoking or the tobacco chewing habit, and hence these are the risk factors and these are the problems, and hence they should be detected early by examining the mouth regularly, by preventing, by smoking cessation, and by telling the people not to chew the tobacco and all. So rather than going in for spiritual person and then giving some bhasma and bhabuti on his forehead and telling that now you will become all right, which is impossible. So one should make them understand that it's not always possible to have these kinds of non-professional, non-scientific type of alternative sources. You should not believe much in them, and you should go for the right kind of medicines. So let's understand the various kinds of outreach programs that the hospitals can do to help the community at large. One of them is cancer detection camps. As we know, cancer is the word which has come from crab, where the legs of this crab go on increasing in size to reach its destination at times, and that's how the cancer cells also go on spreading all over the body, and it lead to mutation at times if the cell's DNA is changed, and all the organs can be affected. Even if the primary cancer is at one side, it can be distant. Other organs also can be adversely affected, and then it becomes inoperable or not treatable at all, and a person may die. And hence, one should detect the cancer at the earlier stage. One should know what are the telltale signs of the development of cancer. For example, one is when there is an alternate change in the skin or mucosa of a person in the form of blackening of the mole, which is increasing in size all the time, which is becoming disfigured, which is pressing on certain things. Similarly, in case of breast cancer, there can be abnormal discharge from the nipple, or the areola may become different, or there can be lump felt in the breast. There can be some changes in the mouth mucous membrane in the form of there can be white patches or red patches, leukoplakia or erythroplakia. If any sore is there which is not healing, any ulcer is there which is not healing, if any tumor is there which is increasing in size, and it can lead to some of the other pressure symptoms. Any hoarseness of voice which is not becoming all right with the routine medicines for 3 weeks or more. A person losing continuously weight, a person becoming pale day by day, anemia, a person getting fever not being treatable by most of the common medicines, maybe leukemia. So these are some of the common signs and symptoms where a person loses weight all the time and doesn't become all right in spite of taking frequent food and some multivitamin tablets and all. So these are some of the telltale signs of the cancer. Based on where it is, the signs and symptoms will vary, but one has to be vigilant to see to it that anything which is not treatable or not becoming all right for 3-4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, one should be on a vigil to find out whether a person is suffering from cancer or not by doing the right kind of investigations. One should educate people about these common signs and symptoms of cancer and the need to suspect whenever such kind of thing occurs. So educational as well as screening activities to collaborate, so that if you screen the mouths of all the people, if you can find, although there are no symptoms, if you can find at least 10% of patients who are having some or the other white patches or red patches, or there is some submucous fibrosis, a person is not able to open the mouth, and you collaborated with a person having the habit of tobacco chewing or smoking, then definitely go for biopsy to find out whether there is an early case of cancer. Similarly, every woman above 35 years of age, if you check the cervical mucosa by doing a pap smear, it's a special kind of papanicolaou stain. When you apply that to the mucosa of the cervix and examine it under electron microscope, you can find out the changes that are occurring in the cells, and early case of cancer of cervix can be detected. Similarly, if you take X-ray of a person, if a person is chronically coughing or if there is a blood in the sputum of the person, then there is a likelihood of cancer, and pulmonary carcinoma can be detected at an early stage. If a person is passing blood in the urine, if you check the urine, it shows occult blood strongly positive in RBCs, which is painless hematuria, then you should go for cystoscopy and FNAC done. The cells can be examined, and then it will show some malignant cells, and then this is how you can detect the disease early, whereby it is treatable, whereby you can operate or you can give the anti-cancer drugs in the right dosage for the right duration and regularly monitor him every 6 months or 3 months or whatever is needed based on the type of cancer. And this is how you can prevent the occurrence of advanced stage of cancer, or if it's a carcinoma in situ, it will not be manifested, and hence you can prevent that and treat them at an early stage whereby it becomes treatable. So you have to do the screening activities to collaborate, always be in dialogue with them to make them understand the importance of that, and you should develop the network to determine what are the community needs in that locality based on the cultural aspects and all. Suppose some community is such where they regularly are smoking hookahs, that also can lead to cancer. Some communities are in habit of taking betel nut, that also can lead to cancer. Some communities, they are highly prone to alcohol, that also can lead to cirrhosis of liver and sometimes cancer of liver also. So early detection is very, very essential, and once you detect necessary referral to the right kind of oncologist, oncosurgeons, oncotherapist, radiation therapy, etc. And then regular follow-up will help us in detecting the cancer early, curing it, preventing the complications, and enhancing the quality of life of the patient. You regularly organize some workshops for teaching those who are educated, for giving them idea about what are the early signs, symptoms of cancer, what are the screening facilities available at various locations of the healthcare delivery system, and where the patients can go. You can give lectures to the community patients by the consultant doctors who can make them understand what are the common sign symptoms of it, what are the risk factors, what they are supposed to do in case their siblings or their parents are suffering from some of these cancers, at what interval they are supposed to go for mammography in case of females, if their sisters or mothers have suffered from cancer of breast. And there should be specially trained instructors if the consultant specialists are not available for giving lectures because of the paucity of time. You can develop certain instructors who will imbibe some of the basic knowledge about the cancer treatment, and they will give in turn to the lectures to the community. And there are certain registered nurses also can give this kind of health education talks. Awareness of breast cancer for females is very, very essential, because once a female crosses 35-40, she should regularly examine the breast. There is a self-examination of breast, CDs available, people can be taught, so that in case of any early changes which are occurring, when a woman stands in front of a mirror and keeps the hand on the hips, she can compare the level of the nipple. She can see if there is any abnormal discharge coming, if there are any changes in the nipple and areola area, or if she can palpate her own breast with the palm at the lower side and do a rotatory movement whereby she can find out if there is a lump within the breast, and then go and meet the surgeon to find out if there is any abnormal lump which can be cancerous and which should be early diagnosed by doing the mammosonography and then treated accordingly. So, awareness about breast cancer for females, colorectal cancer and prostate cancer for males, colon and rectum, the large intestine, these are the areas where the cancers are more common, especially in males where they are obese, where they are having non-vegetarian food more often, when they are having a lot of spicy food. There can be genetic predisposition also if their parents have suffered from that. And prostate cancer. Prostate is the genitourinary tract. You can see one prostate gland. Through the sonography, you can find out the enlargement of prostate if it is going further. And there are certain prostate-specific antigen test, and one can do the biopsy if one is in doubt by doing, if the per-rectal examination is showing the abnormal type of prostate, is it hard, is it regular and all, then one can go for biopsy also and then find out if there is a prostate cancer. And cervical cancer for females, as I told you earlier, pap smear will help us in finding out if a female is suffering from cervical cancer, and that's how one can prevent it or detect it early, whereby it is curable. Otherwise, once it is going into third and fourth stage, it usually becomes incurable because it has already spread to distant places. Breast cancer has spread to lungs, it has spread to thyroid, it has spread to brain at times, and then there is no point. You cannot cure this disease, and probably the 5-year survival rate of such a patient will be very low. So, cancer detection camps are very, very essential. If you do such camps in the community, make them aware about various cancers, detect them early by using pap smear and mammography, miniature radiography if required sometimes for certain risk, high risk patients, examination of the mouth cavity by the experts to detect the early leukoplakia, etc.